had so much going for it. Hamilton was a great city, part of a great region, one of the great regions of the world, the greater Toronto Hamilton area is one of the most fastest growing, best places to live on the planet. Hamilton is at a crossroads of all these different modes of transportation. It's got a terrific airport with all kinds of capacity to expand. It's got its port. It's got its highways crisscrossing it. It's got good roads. It's got GO buses and GO trains coming to Toronto, serving the region. So it's got a heck of a lot going on. That said, we think at Metrolinx there's room for improvement. We think for Hamilton to totally thrive, it needs two things added to what it has at present. First, it needs even stronger public transit. And that's why we're working with Mayor Eisenberger and the city on the proposed LRT in Hamilton to give it that band of rail transit right through the heart of the city as a first step to building a modern public rapid transit building. It's a mechanism to work with Hamilton on that. And second, for Hamilton right now, the Metrolinx is proud to be a part of making all that happen. This is the next renaissance for Hamilton. The time for Hamilton to take its place in the sun.
Trinic International has been located in Hamilton since 1993. We're an international delivery and logistics provider, and what that means is we facilitate the movement of cargo by ocean and by air all over the world. We're represented in about 85 countries worldwide. You have the port here in Hamilton, so water facilitates the air transport, of course, and then you have the truck transport. So Hamilton is essentially a big involved in the ship efforts that have been happening over the last couple of years. Be aware of that. A lot of manufacturers, importers, and exporters are not aware of how that can help relieve congestion, takes trucks off roads, and basically it's very green. All of the efforts that have been put forth by the economic I think the fruits are coming now. They'll start to pay off, and things will start to come forward. And it's the snowball effect. Once something comes in, then other industry will form around it. I think that will help Hamilton emerge with a different label.
I've been studying the real estate markets for 18 years across the country and the economic fundamentals behind it. Hamilton's come out as the number three place in the whole province, if not all of Eastern Canada, to invest in real estate for long term. And that's based not on the real estate market, that's based on the economic fundamentals, the fundamentals that drive a real estate market, like population growth and transportation changes and income increases. We've studied economic growth and real estate growth tied to transportation improvements all over North America. And we've put out a special report on Hamilton that studies neighborhoods and specific impacts. And right now, if we can get the Metrolinx program starting to go in Hamilton, that will drive revitalization, it'll increase values of real estate, it will increase the tax base because more people will be comfortable about moving there, therefore your tax base will go up. We're already seeing the impact of the Red Mill Expressway, and you're starting to see how the neighborhoods that are just off, like 600, 800 meters off of the exits, are having an improved value faster than the rest of the city. Transportation and distances aren't measured in kilometers anymore. They truly are measured in minutes. The new LRT line that they're proposing, I think, is an absolute critical key point to the future of Hamilton. And if they don't do it, it will slow the growth potential of that area. You know what? I fall in love with Hamilton. I think that it is a great spot to be, and I think it's a fantastic place for anybody who wants to invest in an economy that's going to grow, in a real estate market that has such potential, and great transportation improvements.
Thank you very, very much for including me at the summit today. Hamilton is very important in my life. My boss works here at Hamilton, Rob Geisler, the president of the city, the college, and other of our directors in the board of Metrolinx, and Chris Corso, who's Hamilton's very important. For my entire life in full secondary education, I have so admired the school of the Mohawk College for great educational experience. be invited him to involve as a special pleasure. Thank you for having me. As I said, the remarks that were on site there, I think this is a wonderful one with all kinds of possibilities ahead. I had a speech a few months ago where I spoke of the next renaissance of Hamilton, the community spirit, the sense of togetherness, the sense of civic engagement that Hamilton displays, which I think is stronger than any other community I visit. So I think these are great times. I was asked by the our chairman to simply summarize briefly what we at Metrolinx are trying to do with respect to transportation that's relevant to Hamilton, just to get the facts on the table. We have two major lines of project. One is transportation in Hamilton, the other is transportation connecting Hamilton to the region around it. With respect to transportation in Hamilton, we have brought forward in very close cooperation with Mayor Eisenberger and his colleagues at City Hall. We brought forward a proposal for rapid transportation along Main and either a bus rapid transit or a light rail. We think that project is a terrific, it is less expensive. We believe the greatest economic benefit could be achieved by paying the extra investment that's required for the rail, for the LRT, which is greater damages than over time, especially community building. So we put the case on the table. We've done so in partnership with the city. That are the challenge now for Hamilton and Metrolinx is to get financial support to move ahead with that project. There are numerous major infrastructure projects that different communities within the Greater Toronto and Hamilton area want to see go forward. The province has limited resources, so it's critical for Hamilton to make sure the next major investment in transit infrastructure for the region is Hamilton's investment. But Hamilton is in competition with Mississauga. It's in competition with York. It's in competition with Durham. I think Hamilton is better advanced, has a big head start on being the next major project to be announced. I think there's strong provincial support for it, there's strong municipal support, but it's not in the bag yet. And the important thing is to get it done and try and get it done this year or very early next year to get the provincial commitment. The province has limited resources. You've seen it in Toronto, is they've had to slow down somewhat on transportation infrastructure. So job one for Hamilton, I think, is to go from the study we've got on the table to getting it built. I think the economic impact of that for Hamilton will be very significant and can be made much larger with much of a multiplier on it, with good urban planning, with good density, with good investments around that infrastructure to make the payoff as large as possible. Number two, the second piece, is what we're doing with GO Transit. GO Transit is the operating arm of Metrolinx, and we have present, as you know, we come into Hunter Street Port with four trains a day. We are going to expand that service with at least four trains a day running into the James Street Station. That James Street Station is on the way. It's still in Niagara as well. So expanding our service through there. And that is the first step towards the goal. And the goal is two-way, all-day service between Hamilton and the rest of the GTA. That is, I believe, the critical ingredient to allowing Hamilton to have its full place, not as a bedroom community for downtown Toronto, but for Hamilton as a major economic driver, as a major economic ending within the GTHA, connected all day, both ways, with the other parts of the region so Hamilton can realize its full potential. That, we think, is critical. The first step in doing that is getting the James Street Station built and getting four more trains a day, and then from on that base, we can just build and get more trains done. We want to get a lot of this done in time for the Pan Am Games. We've made commitments to get it done by 2015, which we will do. Finally, we're also working on our goods strategy. We think the movement of goods is as important to Hamilton as the movement of people, and we're collaborating and cooperating on that kind of work to see how we can enhance the movement of goods in and out of Hamilton and across the region. Richard Corso of our board is leading on the board of those efforts and is an inspiration for us as we do that work. The last thing I should perhaps say is in order to make transportation infrastructure is an essential ingredient of growth. But it isn't growth in and of itself.
It's a necessary condition, but it's not sufficient. It takes the real payoff to better transportation investments is to combine that with good planning, with good combining of other public infrastructures to investment to supplement the transit infrastructure, to get it all together as a united whole. The synergy of transportation infrastructure with other forms of infrastructure and planning, that's where the real juice is, we believe, for a community. We've seen it happen in other communities that we serve with two-day, all-day service. You look at the growth of Oakville or Burlington, or Mississauga, you see how centrally important improved transit infrastructure is being to those communities. The same we believe will be true for Hamilton, but it will take not just what we at MetroLinx will try to do, and we will do our best. It will also take Hamilton getting all the other parts together, so all the ingredients come together to realize the full benefits. Thank you very much for having me. I look forward to the questions. Thank you.
Thank you. operates under the umbrella of the Kansas City Area Development Council, which has built a 35-year regional economic development partnership. There is a common appreciation and understanding for promoting the area as one, rather than two states, 18 counties, and 50 communities. A win in one community impacts the entire region. By promoting all of our area assets, we are able to offer so much more. SmartCore also maintains a presence at national trade shows, conferences, and speaking engagements to continue to promote Kansas City as a transportation hub. We focus on our region's primary assets, such as our central location, the fact that we have the most foreign trade zone space in the U.S. We are the nation's largest rail hub based on tonnage. We are also the nation's third largest trucking center, and we have growing intermodals and the world's most underground warehousing space. We promote each of these assets through the new KC SmartCore website, social media such as blogs and LinkedIn, direct mail, and also in local and national media. At SmartCore, it is our job to make sure that the Kansas City workforce stays competitive. A few years ago, we created the Supply Chain Education Group. This group brings together members of the logistics and transportation industry together with the education sector to identify industry trends. It works to improve the overall training programs of the industry and ensure that Kansas City has a competitive and highly skilled workforce. In fact, this group also just recently teamed up with the University of Kansas to create an undergraduate degree in supply chain management. Also, Allen Foods located a 150,000 square foot distribution facility in the Kansas City region because our workforce was committed, highly skilled, and highly trained.
How are we going to do this here in Hamilton? How are we going to harvest all the different, when we talk about all the multimodal transportation, with the air, with the cargo, with the water, how can we operationally, specifically, integrate all those together?
That's the, you know,
million dollar
question, right? The assets are there. Like, a lot of our infrastructure is already in place. You've heard people talk this morning about underutilized assets. The airport's got capacity, but the airport is currently like an island out on unto its own. There are a lot of lands around the airport that can be developed. I like to draw a comparison to Frankfurt. Frankfurt is a similar sized city to Hamilton. It's got 680,000 people. It puts through 55 million people through its airport hub. It's the number one goods hub in Europe. And with 212 countries that actually use it as a central hub. It's also Europe's largest fish market, and it's nowhere near water. So it kind of tells you how you can create a hub just by linking your assets. The port is another one. We've got great port facilities. Hamilton is probably the number one port within the whole seaway system. And again, for me, it's underutilized from the standpoint of connecting the new modes of transportation. You heard in the trade link discussion there about short sea shipping. Well, Hamilton's taken the initiative to try to push that as a link forward to connect the seaports on our eastern coast. So it's you've got to connect these assets. CNCP are in town, you've got rail, and you've got the highway. The LRT for me is a huge component that will connect the people. But, you know, I want to add one piece to Rob's project, so that's connected up to the airport as well. Because, believe it or not, that will make a huge difference.
We did some research at SCL, and one of the things we find is Canadians are very poor shoppers when it comes to logistics and transportation. In fact, we actually outsource 54% less of our services than American companies do. But above all, we don't think strategically enough to integrate and to use a multimodal. Because what's also, as Davina said, that not only the airport and the Greenport, but two Class 1 railways service your city in this area, but also some of the best trucking companies in North America are right here at home. So, and the couriers are headquartered here. So you have so much going for it, but we have to educate businesses better to understand, because today, it's supply chains who are competing in the global domestic market. It's not companies. It's their supply chain. So we have to educate more to get people to understand it's a multimodal world now. So you may use more than one mode of transportation to move your product. And that's, again, what makes Hamilton such a great prospect for the future for supply chain and logistics.
I think these guys are giving great advice, and I would get at them. You know, getting things done, you know, is always really valuable. And so, yeah, coming over today, a group of men, we're going to get together and say, damn it, we're going to do it. You've got your initiative, great, let's get at it and get on with it. We at Metrolinx will do our part of bringing you along, but we're only a small part of that. The good study is a really important part, and you know, we're working closely with Ontario, and Ontario's working with Quebec, and Quebec and Ontario working with the U.S., so it's all part of a big. There's lots of good work going on, but Hamilton's got to put its foot to the floor and get it done. I also think Hamilton has to make choices. So I appreciate the point about taking the LRT out to the airport. That's, you know, that's clearly a good thing to do. But there are other people in Hamilton who want to take it here and take it there. Is it the A line, is it the B line? And there are limited resources. So figuring out which things to focus on so that we get those done, as opposed to there being so much noise coming out from Hamilton, let's have four different lines, let's have stadiums in four different places, let's have this and let's have that. It's, when governments are pressed for where they're going to make their public investment, I think they will support good, coherent, integrated, synergistic plans. Those will be the ones that win. So it's really important, I think, for Hamilton to have its act together. I've been enormously impressed working with Mayor Eisenberg on his clarity of vision and what needs to get done, and sticking with it, and taking that and expanding it to this broader field, I think is pretty important. Because if it's just Hamilton wants everything, no matter what it is and what it costs, I don't think that's going to be a particularly persuasive strategy.
Now back to you, Rob. In your commentary, you talked about LRT winning a competition between Mississauga, York, Durham, whoever else perhaps could have been for a large infrastructure project for Ontario funding. We spent the last half an hour talking about all great things. There's got to be some bad things. What are the weaknesses that we need to concentrate on in terms of getting to win that project?
Well, I would
want to
hold myself to
the
The challenge for transportation infrastructure is it's very expensive, multi-year product projects, and the province can't commit to all the really good projects at once. We have in the big move, which is our regional transportation plan, we have 15 top priority projects. We're making good progress. So we've got five funded, we've got three others underway. You know, we've got a lot going on, but the outstanding bill remains a large one. To get the rest done, and the Hamilton project, I think, is a very compelling project. But Mississauga has a very compelling project running LRT from Mississauga up to Brampton to go up and down here on Ontario. That's a really good project. There's a really good project to put bus rapid transit from Durham coming into Scarborough and hooking up. That's a really good project with compelling economics. There are a number of GO expansion projects with compelling economics, very high rate of return projects. So there are more really good projects on the table with strong community support than there's likely to be money available in the short and medium term. Over the longer term, Metrolinx is charged with bringing forward an investment strategy, how to create a stable source of long-term funding so that we can march our way through these priorities over time. And we will do that over the next 2 or 3 years. But in the short term, I think this is about political, rallying the community, aligning the investments as positively as possible, and pushing as hard as possible with the province. And I don't have any doubt Mayor Eisenberg is doing that. He needs all the support he can get from everybody in this room. And I think the more coherence there is to that case, not thinking of transit as standalone,
and different from the Pan Am Games, and different from something else, and different from the higher education institutions. It's when there's a mobility hub at Mohawk College, which complements the transportation, which complements the athletic facility up at McMaster, which complements that sort of coherence, I think, will help make Hamilton's case. But I personally think it's Hamilton's to lose rather than Hamilton's to win. I think Hamilton's done a great job of positioning itself as a very high priority. I think that's understood at the province, that the countervailing pressure is as much economic. Does the province have the resources to make further commitments? That's, I would say, the biggest headwind is the province's financial circumstance, not the competitors. But I know there are also competitors who are doing their best to make the same case Hamilton's trying to use.
Bob and Dimitri, the same question.
I think the city fathers, your council, the people that are making the decisions for the future economic growth of the city and the survival, really have to ensure that their transportation planning is one of the highest issues on their list. The reality today, what companies are doing, even as we speak today, they're looking at expansion or relocation. They're not going anywhere now where transportation for both people and goods is not really efficient. They have no desire to go where there's congestion that costs companies today millions of dollars. All you have to do is see the downtown Toronto Board of Trade's recent report, what congestion is doing to the businesses in the city of Toronto, and they're wondering why they're leaving. So city fathers, I hope that transportation, access, infrastructure is one of your highest priorities.
Yeah, lastly, business will help to drive us. I mean, following up on Bob's comments here, the whole point of getting this trans vote in Ontario going is to get the private sector, get academia together, and then also get the public sector of the city involved and pushing it. And so one of the key things we have to get going on is marketing. And the Kansas City strategy, their whole marketing strategy, getting out there, becomes almost like an epidemic. Companies start to think, crap, I gotta be there because my competitor's there, so I have to show up or else I'm gonna lose out on that advantage. It's getting that message out and pushing it faster than we have been.
Just add one extra element about the media. Now, Hamilton has one of Canada's best newspapers in the Spectator. Having the Spectator on side with this, the business community staying close to the editorial board and making sure, again, there's alignment, so the messaging, Hamilton Spectator's read everywhere among decision makers. The other media in Hamilton, it's really important to get this message. It's so compelling what is offered by my two colleagues here about the case for Hamilton. We need to get that message broadly projected beyond the elite to be broad to the broad audiences, that this is a special opportunity for Hamilton. And I think the media, led by the Spectator, but not limited to the Spectator, applies not the Spectator, he's the work of the Spectator. I'm a fan of the Spec, but I'm a fan of all the media as a way of telling the narrative of what Hamilton's future looks like and getting that message out. It won't just be noticed in Hamilton, it'll be noticed across the province and in Ottawa.
Questions from the floor? Delegates.
Thank you. This question is to Rob. With respect to the business side of MetroLink's, the procurement aspect, could you speak to the procurement aspect? Hamilton certainly has a rich manufacturing history and the steel industry as well, and there's certainly going to be a need on the building side of this from both LRT and from Trax. Can you speak to how Hamilton Region, how they can avail themselves to be involved in that procurement process?
Thank you for the question. It's an important question. There's tremendous opportunity here. We're going to spend between the big five projects we're doing that are already funded, plus the GO projects, GO expansion projects. GO will spend just south of $1 billion a year on CapEx for the next 5 years, and we'll spend just under 10 billion. Well, we'll spend a bit less than that in the next five. We'll spend about $10 billion over the next 5 years, give or take. Here to take a billion or so. So it's really, really big money. No, really, really big money. Really huge money. I spent 10 years of my life as president of the University of Toronto working day and night. And if I say to lots of people, said I get an okay job of raising some money, we've raised $1 billion over 10 years of incredibly hard work. And this transportation business, $1 billion here, $1 billion there, you know, it comes and goes in a week or two. So these are really, really big numbers, huge numbers. So there's tremendous opportunity in that sense that we're gonna do it. As a matter of procurement policy, we don't have a local preference except for the 25% Canadian requirement that we have for our vehicles. That is a province-wide requirement that we're bound by. Otherwise, we have open, competitive procurement. But the things we need, the opportunities that should be there for Hamilton-based firms with the specialty manufacturing, the highly skilled manufacturing, with the educated, skilled workforce base we have in Hamilton, the tradition of manufacturing Hamilton, the small and medium-sized firms that are doing so many innovative things in Hamilton, I think there's big opportunity, but it's opportunity under a current approach, which is going to have to be earned through nimble, competitive, smart, innovative bids, rather than saying, well, we're spending $500 million in Hamilton, therefore we have to put $500 million in. That's not the way we think. We think about getting the best possible value for the taxpayer in making these investments, but recognizing that GTHA should be highly competitive in bidding for many of these companies.
So I kind of had a microphone placed in my lap. Thank you, Nick. Judy Marsales, small business owner, and I think logistics, certainly transportation, is the key to Hamilton's future growth. One of the things I discovered in talking to the younger generation is that they're not prepared to trade dollars for time. And when you talk about commuting in from Toronto, in conversation trying to attract Torontonians to our Hamilton housing market, is certainly the challenge of transportation. But I just want to go back to what was said this morning from The Economist, and that is the statistical evidence that suggests that we're not attracting new people to Hamilton. And I think if you look at Canada Mortgage and Housing site, Hamilton is the second oldest demographic in Ontario right now. So we have to create not just transportation corridors, but we have to create housing for the next generation, for the baby boomers. And the conversation around where the stadium should be placed would suggest that it should be on the corridors of transportation, i.e., if I had a magic wand, and I love the mayor, but if my magic wand was available, I would be placing it at the QEW and the foot of Centennial Parkway, because then we get to attract all of the potential from the Niagara Peninsula. We get to attract all the potential from Burlington and Toronto. Plus, we have the Red Hill Valley Expressway coming down. So there's a key argument for transportation. Then we get to develop the harbor with mid-sized, spacious, gracious condominiums for myself as a baby boomer looking to move out of my house. So I guess with respect to transportation, it's multifold in terms of both generations, both ends of the spectrum, if you will, the younger generation and us baby boomers. So if you'd like to speak to that, I'd love to hear about that. And welcome to Hamilton.
Thank you. Look, Judy, I agree with you. I just want to reject the image of Hamilton as commuter, bedroom community for Toronto. That's not our vision of it. Our vision of it is Hamilton is thriving economic engine, part of an even greater region that it's interacting with. It's two-day, it's all-day, both-way service in and out of Hamilton. People coming into Hamilton, people coming out of Hamilton. We think that's the image I want to leave you with, not how do we make it a bedroom community for Toronto, because I don't think that's where the future lies for Hamilton. I think the future lies where these gentlemen are talking about the kinds of businesses we can build in Hamilton. That will create jobs, that will attract young people, and young people will find Hamilton more attractive as a place to live, as will older people find Hamilton more attractive, if it's got good interregional transportation. But it should be built around good jobs here. But when you want to go visit your grandchildren in Toronto, as I think I recall you saying, you don't go as often as you used to, because you don't know if it's going to take you 45 minutes or 2 hours or 45 minutes to make that drive. So we want to make Hamilton a more attractive place to live in Hamilton, because your business is here, your work's here, but your family might be elsewhere in the region. It's Hamilton, this thriving engine, which I think is the
organized at least this summit. I think it's why that goods movement is so important. It's why all the national advantage movement is so important. And I think we should build on that and work on that. Thank you.
I think Hamilton should be working hard to attract distribution centers to create more jobs in the city because you have the space and you have the transportation links. And I think if you can attract, if you think back and look, how did Mississauga and Brampton grow the way they grew? They grew because most of the retailers and manufacturers, they all started their distribution centers there because of the accessibility to the Pearson International Airport and the rail yard in 401. So you have all of that and more. So I think you should be really hustling to bring in more distribution type jobs, talk to the retailers and people like that, and get them to establish here using your transportation network to help create more jobs. And that'll create jobs for small businesses, because I'm a small business person too, and transportation creates my business.
Thank you very much for your comments. My name is Neil Hagen. Project manager for the Chamber Rapid Transit Manufacturing here in Hamilton. I'm glad to hear the comments that it's an open policy, an open bidding policy. There have recently been media reports that with the Metrolinx has been in negotiations for sole sourcing with one company. I wanted to comment on that one.
I'd be happy to comment on that. We need to buy probably 180 vehicles for the first phase of the four big Toronto LRT projects. We face a choice as to whether to exercise an option available to us that came out of the competitive open process for the TTC street legacy streetcars. That process included the prospect of also then supplying the LRT vehicles. That's one option. The other is, if we don't like what we get with that option, is to hold a new competition. I want to stress this. You take the results of one competition already held, or do we go to a new competition? And those kind of these sole sources just not accurate. It would be slightly aggressive on it because it's important to put a stake through right away. There's a highly competitive process actually running two rounds, as you know, that Bombardier was the successful firm in that, that explicitly includes an option that we can exercise to buy the cars we need as well. We're in negotiations at present, as we've announced, to determine whether or not to exercise that option. Whether or not we exercise that option will turn on the price and value we can get for the taxpayer relative to the alternative, and we should know the answer to that relatively soon. Even if, let's assume for purpose of discussion, it does go to Bombardier. Bombardier doesn't make all the parts that you know for these vehicles. There's huge opportunity for firms to be a part of that contract. They're the head contractor, but there are all kinds of pieces underneath. And so either way that goes, I stand by my earlier answer. There's very large opportunity available here for firms in Hamilton.
Thank you. The second question really was the percentage of content. Ontario is mandated 25%. France has recently awarded a $12 billion contract. And has 70% French supply. Quebec mandates 60%. So why would we obviously believe in the chamber in free competition and no mandated content. Why would Ontario be different than other jurisdictions?
Well, each jurisdiction sets its own rules, and I think it's a hard call for jurisdictions. Ontario is a huge beneficiary of open trade. Open Ontario is the government's message, and open trade is how we build such a successful, strong, economically strong province. So we're winners in open trade, and we're losers in closed trade as a province. Transportation vehicles have been one of these areas which most countries continue to have a buy local requirement. Some argue shouldn't have any. Some argue for 25%, some argue for 40%, 60%. All these numbers around in different jurisdictions. Ontario's landed at 25%. That's a, Metrolinx is a taker of that decision. We didn't write that rule. But I, for myself, I find it a reasonable balance between Ontario's overall commitment to open trade and a recognition that most nations have erected some barriers in this area, and so to have a 25% Canadian strikes me as about right. We went to a 50% Canadian, just to put it in context, a 50% Canadian requirement, which the TTC has advocated because of the impact on local jobs for Ontario. The cost of that is, the estimated cost of going from 25 to 50, it's a big number. And I guess my instinct is, on this, value for money for the taxpayers is pretty important, because there are all these projects that are going to be hard to get funded. If we make the ones we're doing that much more expensive, it's not obvious to me that's in our long-term best interest. So I'm personally comfortable with the 25, and we're acting on the 25%. For those that want to raise it or lower it, the decision maker is Queen's Park.
Isn't that an assumption? Is that an assumption?
Well, it's a pretty informed assumption, though, because when we talk to the bidders about what would it cost to increase from 25%, they give us numbers. So we talked to Siemens, we talked to Alstom, we talked to Bombardier, we talked to the major big vehicle producers, and they all price increasing the percentage. And indeed, I think you'd find that Siemens and Alstom would say the requirement of 25% hugely disadvantages them in bidding on these contracts relative to a Canadian producer like Bombardier as a big factor.
Well, Ontario has set a precedent, though. The Ontario Green Energy Act states that by the year 2012, companies will have to have 65% Ontario content. I love that rule because that means we have a chance to build wind generation towers and the like right here in Ontario and move them on the water in marine mode. And that means solar panels. I can tell you that the city of Windsor, if they were here today, would tell you how excited they are because they have just attracted two new manufacturing plants to build wind generation projects and solar projects in two of their closed off water plants. So 65%, they've set a precedent now, and I think, you know, we should be thinking about that, how we can use that to our advantage in other industries.
I'm the director of the web division at Factory Design Initiative, or a design and development company situated on Block Street. And I'd say our biggest challenge as a company is the ability to retain creative, skilled individuals. We've had some success in bringing people from Toronto, but many people who grow up in Hamilton that are creative, educated, and skilled do leave here, as I'm sure many of your children and so on have done. And I see a real sort of conflict between this focus on a logistics center and what's important to creative and skilled individuals. So what's most important to creative individuals and skilled and educated individuals is that we have livable neighborhoods, right? Dense neighborhoods, livable neighborhoods. That's also, I think, the best place to raise a child, which is something we talk about a lot here in the city. So, you know, best is a pretty big word. It needs to be a prism that we look at all of our decisions in. So I've got two transportation-related examples to give you where I don't think we're doing that. The first is the city recently approved a truck route, or renewed or retained a truck route between Dundurn Street, between York and King. This is a section in a residential neighborhood. There are no stop signs or lights here. It's a block away from an elementary school and the park. I mean, this is an issue. People who are living in these neighborhoods don't want 18-wheelers going through Dundurn Street in this area. Secondly, Bob Armstrong, you earlier said that transportation is a two-way street. Well, I don't know if you live in downtown Hamilton. one-way streets, they're bad for business, they're more dangerous for children. I live a block away from Main Street on Jackson and Locke, and I've got a two-year-old toddler, and I'm terrified that one day he's going to head out, and he's going to end up on Main Street, and literally a certain death down there. I mean, I'd say the average traffic rate is probably 60 to 70 kilometers an hour. We hear the motorcycles and the transport trucks roaring up and down the strip all the time. So my question is Hamilton ready to get serious about the goal of being the best place to raise a child? Are we going to be serious about retaining these creative, skilled individuals? And in my opinion, I think every planning document that we have, I read the document for the section for retaining the truck route, I want to see every planning document like that have an answer to the question, does this decision represent the best place to raise a child? How can we defend this decision in light of that?
That sounds pretty rhetorical, but I do want to say that the logistics industry, in my experience, is
filled with unbelievably creative and innovative, smart people. So this image of logistics is somehow being, heavy metal, low-end industry. These are highly sophisticated people doing computer programming, operations research, all sorts of innovation, harnessing the greatest advances in technology. So this is a highly sophisticated industry that Bob's talking about, not something other than creative, at least in my experience in logistics.
So a couple of things in the Hamilton Guide and the Review. For starters, our logistics firm, 60% of our management team doesn't live in Hamilton. They come in from out of town. So this whole thing that Hamilton people leave and go work elsewhere, just want to correct that, they actually come to work in Hamilton. So it's far away from Aurora that they drive in every day. Secondly, we have programs where, from a logistics standpoint, we've got one of the most innovative logistics groups, and we're working on zero energy projects where we're combining with Mohawk College as well as McMaster University, bringing in students, co-op students, doing work within our facilities on logistics. We have IT individuals, we have process engineers, design engineers. These are all part of a logistics business. So I want to make sure that we drive that point home and that Hamilton has a ton of talent coming out that's focused on that. In the area of 18-wheelers going down a particular street, which you didn't see on the Halifax video there that showed Halifax and what's wild and wonderful, what's going on in Halifax. I hope we don't piss off anybody that's from Halifax. They got 24-hour container trucks going right through downtown. So if you're staying in Old Town in Halifax, expect to hear container trucks nonstop going through the downtown. Call it a design flaw in the city, call it a planned city route. The point is, that's part of the economic development of that city. It's a requirement of that city. And what you have to do is figure out ways to make people and goods together, work together. It's something that's going to happen. It has to happen. It happens in every major city. But you can't separate goods and people. You need both. You just have to figure out what's the right way to do it. And the city planners are the ones that will focus on the right routes.
So you raised a good point about safety. One of the things we're looking at our Metrolinx Good Movement roundtable is in the city of Hamilton, in the city of Toronto, there isn't necessarily a reason to have 18-wheelers, for example, down the city streets. I'll just use this as an example. If there was a distribution center, Richard, at the airport or Bruce down at the port, and the ship would come in or a plane. You take the goods out and put them into smaller parcels, and you put them into smaller delivery trucks. If you look at your couriers, your courier trucks, they're not going to be big trucks. So the thing is, it doesn't necessarily have to be an 18-wheeler. So we're looking at what we call small pack delivery services to service the downtown core. Because above all the small businesses in the downtown core, they need goods. You can't ask those people to have to come in at 2 o'clock in the morning to receive their goods. It's expensive enough being a small business, so small delivery vehicles is the answer, I think, in the downtown world.
Thanks, a couple more left. Back.
Sir Rob, Jim Walling, manager of Hamilton Tractors. Thank you for your support. We do think we're among the best agents in the country. About 10 months ago, maybe 12 months ago, the Spectator editorial was strategically scoped out three priority areas of coverage for us. One was the NHL, whatever that discussion is. The second was Pan Am Games, and the third was transit slash Metrolinx. You mentioned a comment from LRT versus BRT. Consistently on our editorial page, or letters, or blogs, or news coverage, we consistently said to us that we prefer LRT. What I don't understand, and we'll talk about this in the newsroom, I don't fully understand how the process is made, or how the process unfolds, how the decision is made. So Metrolinx can make a recommendation, then it goes to the province on LRT, BRT, and which bits on to what degree. Is it purely a political decision, or is it a planning decision? I'm just not sure. Certainly part of the lead to the report of it, and fully a whole process.
Let me make two comments. First, I think the way Spectator's handled the transit issues would be excellent. thorough. You've got reporters coming. I think it's been a really good job. Just listening to the conversation today, I guess I urge that the paper to put it in this economic context, in this broader context of goods and people and of the industries that can be built around that and how that turns into growth. So maybe broaden the lens up a bit, because I think transportation on its own is important, but it's not sufficient for a great city, and I think maybe there's room. If you don't have to spend more time on the NHL, you can double the resources on the transportation file and broaden it out. What's the decision-making process? Very important question. What's the province going to do? What the province has challenged us to do is evaluate all 15 of the top 15 priority projects in the Big Move. The Big Move has a $50 billion capital plan that identified 15 top priority projects for attention, of which Hamilton was one. The province last year selected 5 of the projects for funding and gave us, and then for a 6th project, the Hamilton project, gave a planning grant of $3 million. So it put the Hamilton project as one step ahead of all the others because it gave it a planning grant, which no one else got, but clearly a big step behind the 5 that got funded. We are now completing our evaluation of the remainder of the 15. We're presenting 4 actually at our board this week, and we'll present the rest in June. So by the end of June, all top 15 projects will be evaluated using a common methodology that we use called the benefits case analysis. Then the province has said to us, develop for us between June and the late fall a prioritization framework to help us think about these competing positive projects. If something comes out with a crummy number on the benefits case analysis, it drops out. But Hamilton and others are going strong still. It says, come to us with a prioritization framework that accommodates all the considerations that should bear on our decision as a government as to which to fund. So we're at work now on developing that framework. We hope to go public with that framework by the late fall, and then we have to the province as to whether or not it finds that framework helpful and how Hamilton fares in that framework. But at the end of the day, it's a provincial decision to be made by the premier and his cabinet. It's not a decision to be made by Metrolinx in the end, because if when they make these decisions, they have to fund the decision, and the funding has to come from the consolidated budget of the province. So it's a provincial decision, which is why I think Hamilton is ahead, because you've got the planning grant, and because the work has been done well, and the city's investing its own resources and moving it ahead. So Hamilton's in good shape, but I would say keep the heat on, keep the foot to the floor, keep the pressure on, keep working closely with Metrolinx. Get the planning study completed. It's underway now, but get it completed. Get it completed on time. Make sure it's good. And think about the coherence of the messages coming from Hamilton on reinforcing planning decisions, public infrastructure decisions, transportation decisions, economic growth decisions. Because I think the Hamilton story coming out of events like this helps make that case. It isn't just another investment. It's an investment that allows great things to happen in Hamilton, in the region, and I think it's positioning it in that broader context that will help bring this home. But I do want to stress, I'm optimistic in the end, Hamilton will prevail, but I think there's still a lot of work to do between where we are now and where Hamilton needs to be to actually have to check in.
Thanks, Rob. 2 minutes left of the session. Here's the last question.
Thank you. Actually, during the intermission, Nick came over to work. Because everybody's being too polite and starts looking at me, and I guess I'm singled out for it. But I guess the key question I want to ask is, or just pose this, people transportation is still fundamentally medieval. And everybody in this room here, except for me, has a little BlackBerry in their pocket that has more computing power than a computer that would have filled this room in 1950. But people transportation in 1950 is fundamentally the same as it is now, which is a large metal box that costs several hundred thousand to several million dollars. And then you're talking about a billion here, a billion there, apparently. But it is billions of dollars. And these things everybody agrees upon, but they cost an awful lot. And nobody really knows where all that money is going to come from. A few years ago, there was a contest for space travel, $10 million prize. For private space travel, which seems a small prize for private space travel. But several people competed, several companies competed.
and several companies succeeded in developing space technology. And it's going to, in a few years, you can actually travel to space for a few $100,000, but still something that was inconceivable years ago. And yet with transportation for people, the approach still is, well, we'll take the same old technology. It's going to cost $1 billion to do it. So let's argue about where $1 billion is going to come from. Instead of, given McMaster, given Mohawk, given all the expertise, even in this city, saying, well, the budget is $200 million. Let's have $1 million competition, the most innovative way of using that $200 million. And probably an awful lot of really neat ideas would come out of that. Instead of saying, we're going to do the same old thing, the same old way, and somebody else is going to have to pay for it.
From our fare cards to road pricing, the whole range of things that are underway. And Ontario's got its share of things that's doing pretty darn well. Other places are innovating well too. And we get a worldwide laboratory to watch the experiments. So I'm with you on in every way possible tracking the innovation. I don't think it's a reason not to press ahead as hard as we can in the investments we can make now. And second, I do think, because we're talking about moving millions of people and tons of goods, we are still talking about substantial capital investments, which is why we are going to need sources of revenue on a steady, sustained basis to allow us to invest. So I don't think I'm really on the innovation. I don't think it's reason not to go ahead, and I do think it is reason to need an investment strategy to make sure we can keep building to make these stronger communities and stronger regions.
I thought this was a very productive panel.